We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get your popcorn ready podcast with your host, Hatch, and my boy.
This is your boy, T.O. We right here. We back. Season 2.
We busy. We've been on gone for a little bit, right? We was...
A little hiatus, right?
T was out there working out, as you guys can all see on social media out there, doing his jumping jacks and his curls, whatever he was doing in his driveway. I've been right, just getting my mind right, you know, trying to meditate for this day because I got to deal with this dude.
I've been getting my popcorn ready because...
Oh, that's what you've been... Oh, yeah. Okay.
Season 2 is about
to be hot. I
see what
you did right there.
We on Fubo Sports Network. We on the hottest thing right now.
Fubo TV. That's right. What we're doing? Oh, hey, that's what we're doing then. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. That's how we do it here. So again, it's going to be the same stuff, right? Sports and entertainment coming to you, right? Just keeping it light, having fun with it, talking to our guests. Seeing what we go do next.
Two charismatic guys, him, myself. Let me tell you, when we talk to our guests, sometimes we're going to get into conversations, and sometimes you guys are going to think it, and we probably going to say it.
That's right. Coming up next with our next guest, Brendan Schaub, right? Ex-UFC fighter turned comedian, podcaster, overall entertainer. Just like us, T.
Just like me, not us.
Us.
No, me.
Us.
Me. Us. Not us.
Cut. My man. What's up? Good, my guy. Good seeing you, fam.
Thanks for having me.
How big is your truck?
Nah. Trying to keep up with you, man.
Yes, sir. No, you're bigger than him. And you're tough. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
T.O., I'm in the building. Your other host, hey, second season.
Let's go. Back in the building, ladies and gentlemen. And today we have Brendan Schaub in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome. In the building. Where's my popcorn, man?
You know what?
What's up? I came for the popcorn.
So depends on what you bring to the table.
All right.
So right now, it doesn't get popping right off.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I was expecting popping.
You know what? That's a good point, though. And now that we have a new show, it's really not our fault. It's the people whose new show, it's their fault.
Right, because they should have the popcorn.
Yeah, you might
snack on a little popcorn
right there. So again, right, former UFC guy.
Yep.
Put him in a headlock or something. Tell him you want your popcorn.
Just point to the guy.
Somebody of your status, you should have a writer, so you should have requested. You know what I mean? Popcorn.
I did say only pink Starburst, so we'll see.
I mean, there are some divas out there.
There's some divas.
And you're one of them.
But this is not all about us. This is not about us. This is about you. I want to know, I mean, obviously UFC, it has, you know, Dana White has established this whole big conglomerate of a show with fighting, MMA. There's a lot of it. What makes, do you have to be a little bit twisted to do UFC, MMA, I mean, there's bare knuckle fighting.
Yeah, that's insane.
But I mean, even with what you've done,
we feel like that's insane. Yeah.
You know, some people may look at us and the way we play football, they may say that's insane. But what you guys do, I have a profound type of respect because you got to have a different type of mentality to go in there because it's like almost like kill to be killed, to be honest.
Yes and no. I do think, you know, with mixed martial arts, especially in the UFC, it's not like those guys are there. Some are, but a lot of guys aren't there because that's what they want to do. You know, like, I didn't want to fight grown men in steel cage in my underwear. I wanted to play in the NFL. I wanted to be T.O.
I
got the training camp, like, we're all set on slow white guys. So I was like, oh, damn, all right.
So you wanted to be a receiver?
I want to be an I was an H-back in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like the Cooley
I
vibe.
Can,
yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
Klein Saucer.
Yeah, what's Klein up, Saucer. Dog? Yeah, but then Klein I felt Saucer. Like, we're cool, dude. Beat it. So,
but you look like a you look like a linebacker, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. You yeah. know?
Now.
Now, yeah.
I could see him like almost like a Brian Urlacher type.
Oh, yeah.
You, know?
Yeah.
You have the size yeah. like
talk
that.
To the Bears, dog. You got there the connections. But it just, you know, so the goal was football, but then my advantage over a lot of those MMA guys, why I progressed really fast was I had that athletic background in football mm-hmm. and brought that over to mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. So I advanced super fast because mm-hmm. a lot of those guys aren't great athletes. They're just, they're tough and they're fighters.
Right. But I would think that it would be to their advantage. Yeah, you're athletic, you have the size, but those guys, they have quickness. They have really kind of the experience.
They don't have TO quickness or hatch quickness. Like right. there's a difference.
Absolutely.
Like if
I was way quicker than T, just so you know, but go ahead.
Should we bring up stats? I don't want to do
no,
this.
No.
Okay,
we don't want
do we have combine stats?
Oh, his probably was better than mine.
Now, your boy ran a 4.68 here at 240.
Oh, that's what T ran. That, he was about like a 4.68.
I ran like a 4.63 at the combine.
Yeah.
But you guys were that trend, like,
you
that,
guys
that
did, the same.
Right? But I got better.
You could have been T.O.
You guys are the same, dude. You're the same guy.
You're the same guy.
You're in your face, Buffalo Bills. But yeah, so it's like when you like the term athlete is different, right? So you know when you look at John Jones, who's the pound for pound king, if you put him through the combine, he'll probably run a smooth 5.1 in the 40-yard dash. You know, he'll probably have a 30-inch vertical. But if you took a guy like T.O. or you take you know these monsters from the NFL and put them in the octagon, they're not going to shine.
Right.
It's just a different level of kind of skill set.
Wait a minute. There's a couple of football guys that
Greg Hardy,
like
which is an animal on the football field.
Right, that didn't surprise me that he got into the ring because they said he was a little cuckoo anyway.
Yeah.
And so like, he didn't do bad. I don't know what his situation is now.
So the thing is, like, and the same thing happened to me. It's like when you have those, like in Greg Hardy's, I don't know his numbers, but he played in the NFL longer than I did. But he, you know, athletically, he's a monster. Mm-hmm. So you get to the UFC and you're going to get to a certain level off your athleticism. You know how to punch. You get with the right camp. You're gonna blow past like those, just kind of those medium, you know,
mediocre,
you know what I'm
talking,
you know, them dudes. So, but you're gonna get to a level where you're gonna get to the vets, the real veteran fighters, where they've seen a big athletic guy, they've right. seen a, you know, a power right hand, and then how to take
skill
set and experience, and they take over. So I was almost like a cheat code. Like I trained for 2 years, and then I was on the Ultimate Fighter, made it to the season finale, biggest season ever, not a big deal. And then in the next 4 years, I was ranked in the top 10 in the world in the heavyweight mm-hmm. division. But I was a cheat code because I was like the first real athlete and like I advanced really fast. But it's a curse because mm-hmm. I didn't learn the proper skills, the experience.
Right.
So
the foundation.
I'm fighting Nogueira in Brazil, making $16,000, and he's had 100 fights. And you know, I was like, I'm gonna smoke this guy. I'm so much more athletic.
Experience.
Oh, dude, he knocked me out. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask. Like I said, we like to get into like the details of how you become successful, right? So the 4 years you were at the University of Colorado mm-hmm. playing football, what are those three or four things you learned there to help you succeed in the UFC?
That's a good question. I think those were the most important years because. You know, I don't get it twisted. I was good in the UFC. I wasn't a Conor McGregor or anything like that. My success came after mm-hmm. when I retired in entertainment, mm-hmm. stand-up, podcasting. But with playing college football, and you guys know this, especially playing a major Division I college at University of Colorado. So as a walk-on, it's, you know, you start from the bottom, man. Mm-hmm. And I just realized my hard work would get me places.
Yep.
So I probably wasn't the most talented, but I outworked everybody. Yep. So that kind of was ingrained in me. So I brought that to when I was in the UFC. And then when I got done with the UFC, I brought that into entertainment. So I just outwork everybody. Yep. I might not be the most talented. You know, I'm not Kevin Hart in stand-up. Pretty damn good,
right.
But I'll just outwork those guys.
Right. So now stepping into the ring, stepping into UFC.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I can imagine, like, there has to be a lot of anxiety. So
the worst.
What was the training period, the time period that it took for you to be ready to jump into the ring?
I was never ready. I was always terrified to do it. Mm. It wasn't natural to me. You know, I like to think it's a sign of intelligence. When I was backed, I was like, man, this can't be the way I make a living, man. Like, I got a double major. Like, I can do so much other stuff, man. Like, mm-hmm. I'm fighting this dude who's a monster, man. Like, what am I doing? I'm in Brazil.
I'm trying to think, like, because it's all my
And boy. Hold up. When I tell you I was scared, anybody you watch on TV, they won't admit it.
Yeah,
I've been back
all scared.
There in the locker rooms, toughest guys you know.
Absolutely.
Crying, don't want to go out. Like, it's a beast, man.
Yeah. Really?
NFL, too, there's guys that get nervous. They see them. Even if they scored or they had a great game, that doesn't mean they were not nervous before the
Everyone
game.
Deals with it different.
Yeah.
Like, but fighting, it's like, you know, I played in 3 Big 12 championships, played in big bowl games. I'm nervous, but I'm not scared for my life. Or, like, if you get knocked out in a main event on a pay-per-view, you get knocked out in your underwear, like, it's embarrassing, dog. Yeah. And you get half your pay.
So put it in context, like, okay, your first football game
and
your first UFC. Mm. It's got to be nerve-wracking. What is the difference? Like, give us a kind of like a way of what it feels like to play your first college game and then going into the ring fighting your first fight, like, which is more nerve-wracking?
And your first night on stage as a comedian.
Sure. Yeah, only the only one that was, like, terrifying that I was, like, I didn't want to do was fighting. Just because, you know, it's
really?
Like...
But that's what you wanted to do, though. So how
you know
can
you
what?
I was out of options, though, Tio. Like, at the time, I got cut from the NFL. I didn't know what to do. And then to stay in shape in college, I'd do jiu-jitsu. And I had, like, a knack for it. So I was like, all right, I'll just keep doing this. And then I was training with another dude who was trying to get the UFC, and he signed me up for Golden Gloves boxing. And I was like, I don't want to do that, man. He's like, just do it. And my dad was like, what are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. You have a major, you have a double degree, you're a smart dude, you don't need to fight. So I was like, all right, Dad, come to Golden Gloves. Mm-hmm. It's a tournament in Commerce City. If I win, you got to support me. If I lose, I'll do whatever you want. I'll sell supplements, whatever you want to do. He's like, all right, cool. Mm. He comes. I win the tournament by all knockouts. I go 8-0. I beat the Army vet who's like 44-0. I knock him out. My dad's like, damn, maybe he can do this.
Right, yeah.
So then, long story short, I was terrified to fight, man. Terrified. Because the goal of the game is to endure pain and give pain. So you know you're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had fights in the UFC where I'd knock a guy out in like 50 seconds or a minute. I just remember getting back to the locker room and, like, hands and knees praying, like, thank you
that I
I'm
didn't
not
get
hurt,
hurt,
man.
Right.
Wow. Thank
that's, God. That's gratifying. It's almost like just going through a football game and then you don't get injured or just a career and you don't have a lot of injuries. Not many guys are able to do or say that.
And then my thing is I was always, like, 2 steps ahead. Like, my biggest fight ever was against Mirko Krokop, who was former world champion, number one in the world. He was, like, terrifying. And I fought him in New Jersey. And I knocked him out in the 3rd round. It was like KO of the night, fight that was like one of the fights of the year. It was like, but he shattered my nose. I still have issues with my eye from him. He elbowed me in the eye, shattered my nose, like bloodiest fight ever. I knocked him out, bad knockout. And then we're in the back in the locker room and I was just like, man, and my face hurt so bad. Mm-hmm. I was in so much pain and I should have been happy that I just had knocked out this legend, man. Mm-hmm. He was like my hero growing up.
So you're probably in there like, what am I doing?
I just looked at him, I went, what are we, and I won. And I was like, what are we doing, bro? Why are we doing this? Look at you. Right. And I won. Look at me. And he was like, this is life. And I was like, nah, man, that is your life. I remember, like, from then on, like, and I had a bunch of fights after that, but from then on, just the switch went off, and I was like, you got to find an exit strategy, my man. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no longevity to this. Right, like, right. I'm sure, like, if you're a UFC fan, you see the Conor McGregors and the Ronda Rouseys and Brock Lesnar's and John Jones. That is the exception, man. It's like the NFL. Right. Yep. It's like you see the TOs or you see, but do you know how many guys don't make it every, like the average career is 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
dedicate their entire lives to it.
Absolutely.
So I knew coming from football how cutthroat it was. The UFC's just as cutthroat. I'm like, well, I'm no John Jones, man. I'm good, but I know like this is an up and down game. Right, right. Like this isn't the life for me.
Message.
So you saw that there was a ceiling. There was a ceiling for...
I just knew, yeah. like, you know, you keep playing this game, you end up with CT, right. you end up with no money.
You are a realist
yeah.
to understand, yeah. okay, I can only do this so long and endure so much.
But I was fortunate because at the time I was fighting, I moved to L.A., my first friend I made was Brian Callen, who's a comedian. Mm. And he was like, man, I love fighting. Why don't you come on my, and this is 10 years ago. He's like, why don't you come on my podcast? Like, what the hell's a podcast? He's right. like, we sit down in my garage, man, and we just talk. I'm like, that sounds hella lame.
Right.
He's like,
right,
no,
right.
just come. So I come, I don't know him at all. I come, we have this weird like dynamic. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, man, you'd be interested in doing this once a week? And I was like, yeah, but I don't want to talk about fighting, man. I don't really like right. fighting. Like, let me just, I like fashion and shoes and comedy. And like, let me, if I can expand on what I want, what I'm into, I'm mm-hmm. down to do it. Mm-hmm. So he's like, all right, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So we started to do that. And remember, this is 10 years ago before mm-hmm. everyone and their stepmom had a podcast. Right. So we were one of the pioneers in the game. So then that thing started getting traction. Right.
So, and so like, it's kind of different that you two were doing stand-up comedy together too, right? Two guys on stage, like that's different. So you guys kind of beginning that.
That was like
well.
My training wheels because, you know, stand-up, you know, they say it takes 10 years to get good at, but I had the advantage kind of like training wheels because The Fire and the Kid was a comedy podcast and it became so large, we were able to do shows together. So mm-hmm. Brian would go, we're just doing a live podcast. And I was like, oh, we just go on stage and talk? He's like, no, we're going to give him a performance. He was like, but this is what I want you to do, because he didn't want to scare me from stand-up. He's like, every show, you go out and just tell a 10-minute story, man. I was like, that's it? He's like, just 10-minute story.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's easy. I'll talk all day.
Right.
So I go out there, and I didn't realize that was stand-up. So I'm going out there making him laugh, doing 10 minutes, but to me, it's just a story. And then a year later, we're doing all those shows. We're doing the Vic Theater, 1,400 people sold out, three shows.
Okay.
And I go out and go, oh man, I'm trying to work on my story. What do you think my story? And he starts laughing. He goes, oh bro, you think you're telling stories? I'm like, yeah. He's like, no, you're doing stand up, Bubba. And I was like, oh,
this
shit.
This whole time.
Yeah, then I got nervous. I'm like, oh damn. Right.
Because the label that you put on
it.
He messed it up.
Yeah.
He messed up. And then we did a live Firing the Kid at the Comedy Store right down the street here. We did one. And then 2 weeks after that, the booker, Emily reached out. She texted me and she goes, hey, interested in doing a set next Wednesday. And I was like, oh, let me talk to Brian. I'll see what's up. She's like, no, dummy. Just you
by
doing
yourself.
A 6-minute set in the belly room. I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's like never playing football than having your first game at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what?
Going from high school to the pros.
It was nuts.
Real quick.
So I went there, did my first set, probably eight. You know, probably didn't go well.
Right.
Just your first set, but it just put this fire underneath me. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna do this. This is what I want to do."
So this is that's how awesome. The podcast, The Fighter and the Kid,
yep.
was that's established. Awesome.
Yep,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Because again, like I said, we're trying to, of course, I guess compare it to a sport, right? But the comedian portion, right? You've never done it before,
mm-mm.
so you're thinking, "Oh, I'm a badass, right? I'm big, I'm strong, but it ain't got nothing to do with it." Right.
Matter of fact, it's all mental from here. Because it hurts me because when I go on stage, I look like the dude that bullied you in high school. Like,
right. Like, you're
like,
that guy.
Comedians don't look like me.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You're
5'4" and 5'6".
I don't recall or know any comedians that look
the
like
the only guy who looked like is similar is Joe Rogan. And that, you know, that's like my brother.
Right.
Maybe he's a comedian?
He's shorter, though.
He's 5'7".
I don't think he's a comedian.
Oh, yeah, he's one of the biggest headline comedians in the world.
I don't really know him. I know Brendan. I don't know Joe.
Yeah.
Thank him for that.
I don't know.
But, yeah, so for me, it's like my stand-up routine became self-deprecating. So I take that out of the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I look like a meathead. I know I got tattoos and all this. So I get rid of that from the jump. Right?
That's something he will never do. He will never dress himself like that ever. So he has nothing. He has no idea what you're talking about right now. But go ahead.
If need be, but yeah. I'm not a comedian. I'm not going to try to be a comedian.
Yeah, there's no reason for it.
Yeah, you're definitely not a comedian. I'm pretty funny.
I'm pretty funny.
No, he's funny looking. That's the difference. Being funny.
Hey, comedians are funny looking too. So hey, I'm winning.
That's the difference.
I'm
winning. You know what I mean? You got to have originality. You got to have content. You got to have stage presence.
You got to work, man.
And you got
to
have.
You got to have the talking dummy to your right too.
You got to have. Looks, you know,
yeah,
I mean?
Man.
Looks don't really go your way. You better have some jokes.
Yeah, you better be funny. Yeah.
who did anybody ever write with you? Like write for you? Like write some jokes for you?
Or never.
Do you do your own?
So you do your own content. That's
yeah,
cool.
That's a big deal in the comedian world. Right.
Exactly. Because I've heard a lot of guys. Like, cause we know a lot of comedians. Yeah. Jamie Foxx, Guy Tori, Joe,
Kevin, Bill, Hart, Bell, Kat,
Kevin.
All,
all those guys you listen, they might have, like Kevin admits he has help, but you got to realize Kevin's put in the work. Like he has
years.
So much,
for sure,
so many years where he wrote all his material, and he's such a monster, and he's at a point now where he's moving on a different level.
Yeah.
Where he, for him to stop down and write a whole new hour, no. It's tough. So he has help in that sense. But no, anyone who's at my level who has people helping them write, this ain't for you, man.
Right. Yeah. Not to leave out any of the women, like Lonnie Love, yeah. Cheryl Underwood,
Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah,
some love.
Yeah,
for
we
sure.
got to get Tiffany Haddish on this show.
Yeah, she's great.
She would look good right there. In the seat, right?
Better than me. Wait. Better than me, man.
So wait. Thirsty.
I can't wait. Thirsty. Yeah, give me. I'm thirsty. Yep.
Thirsty. Yeah, isn't her man Colin?
Is that the thing?
I think
I don't
that's
know.
Her man, Colin.
I don't know. Do you pay attention to what's on like Instagram and Twitter?
Not Instagram. Like I don't pay too much attention. I post and I get out.
Okay, it's smart.
It's a weird world, man. So I don't want to influence the way I think. So I post, I get out, and see anything. Mm-hmm. But as a podcaster, and it's like you know, it's a comedy podcast. But we talk current events. Like it's my job to be familiar with everything going on.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's switch gears for a minute. You were just involved in saving some lives.
Yeah.
And I know, I guess, you know, that can be impromptu. You got to be quick on your toes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Was that terrifying to really experience that? For our viewers, kind of, can you share a little bit of what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I know this was recently. I think somebody, it was a fatal.
Yeah, a lady passed away. Yeah.
I think that was it. The mom.
The mom
the
did.
Mom
yeah.
Died too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Four mm-hmm. kids in the back. The long story short, the dad, the crazy dad, was trying to commit suicide, kill the family, and ran mm-hmm. into a big rig. I just happened to be going by right when he ran into the big rig, and I see kids and a kid flagging, you know, people down for help. So I helped and. Broke a window, got the kids out of the car, and then got them into safe hands, then dipped out.
Mm. So, yeah. Real life hero, man.
Right, because I'm
I guess.
Reading.
I would like to assume you two would do the same. You know what
no,
I'm saying?
No, for yeah. sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean,
so
just to, I mean,
the term hero, like it's like you guys would have done the same shit. Like I didn't, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like
the moment.
It's weird that people or like
shy away from that moment in real life.
No,
right?
I expect people to shy away because there's a lot of bitches out there. But I think it's like to get like, you know, like TMZ and like New York Post and like all these outlets picking it up. It's like, I don't know. Like I don't know why it's news.
Mm.
Like who the hell's not going to stop for kids and help them?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
I mean, I mean, reading some of the things online, like, you know, I can't imagine, like, I think you saw the mom. Like,
yeah, I saw the mom pass away. And so I had to, because I have two kids, right? So thank God my kids weren't with me. And I got the three-year-old out and he was going, mom. And I just grabbed his face because I was like, where's the mom? And she wouldn't say anything. And I looked and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
saw that you knew she was dead?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah, brain matter everywhere, man.
That's powerful.
Intense, yeah. So I grabbed the kid. I go, no, look at me, buddy. And, like, just started, mm-hmm. like, talking to him about stuff, you know, because I have kids so I can relate, just so he wouldn't see his mom. And I grabbed, I saw a lady. I'm like, these kids, she goes, what can I do? I go, I want you to take these kids and go that way. Mm-hmm. She goes, no, let's go this way. I go, no. Go that way because their mom's there. I don't want them to see their mom. Absolutely. They see their mom, they're screwed for life. Right. Then I took a bite and just covered the mom.
So what was your night going home that night with your kids? Like, how was that for you?
I was supposed to be, on the road this weekend. Was supposed to do shows that weekend, and I shut everything down. I slept in my son's room. And
right, just that's great. Yeah. Reality, like, be closer to your immediate family, nuts. Like, right now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, for me, I'm just thinking about this. Like, he's going about his every day, you know, this normal every day, and then come across this.
Life change,
That's admirable, and obviously, like I said, thank God that, like I said, you were there, you know what I mean, to be in that situation and come to the rescue. That's,
It's heavy shit.
Yeah. That's, for you personally, right, again, being the big guy and, you know, your age now, like, if somebody else were in that situation, let's say, right, somebody who couldn't handle it physically, right?
Yes.
But you could handle it physically, mentally, you're there. Would you, do you handle things differently now at this age than you did 10, 15 years ago when you were, like, chasing different types of dreams, and this is a different type of dream now in entertainment? Do you handle things differently right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think because there was gas everywhere. Like, there was gas, because the big rig where it hit the gas tank. So there was, like, gas, as thick as this room, just flooding. I've seen enough movies where I'm like, damn, if there's a spark, we're all screwed. Right. I just remember thinking, like, God, I can't go out like this, man. I got two kids. Mm-hmm. I have so much knowledge to put in these kids, so much love, man.
Right.
So I guess I moved different in the sense where I can't die. Now, before I had kids, it was whatever, man. Like, I didn't want to die, but it's not the end of the world.
Right.
But now I have kids. It's like, bro, you owe it to them, man, to stay alive. So I move different like that. Like, I don't drive as crazy. Mm-hmm. My touring schedule's different. I won't do, like, back-to-back weeks because I don't want to miss time with my kids. So,
awesome.
Yeah, just being a good dad.
So what's sort of like your sanctuary now, like that?
I used to have a chip, and I'm sure you did too. I know you did, coming from, you know, I had a chip. Pringles, this high, man, coming out of college, getting cut in the NFL, then getting to the UFC, out of chip, this f***ing high, man. So for me, I was fueled by rage.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And if you go back and listen to my old podcast, there was a rage there that's so intense that fueled my success. I had, like, this animosity towards Dana White and the UFC, and I acted like it was their problem, and it's not, man. It was a Brendan problem. It's not a UFC problem. It's not an NFL problem. Mm-hmm. It was a Brendan problem. So I think as I got older, I realized that, and the chip will never leave. But
absolutely.
I realized just getting older, like, I have no issues with the UFC or Dana White. I work with all the UFC guys now. The staff at the UFC, we're good. Right. If Dana called me today, I was like, hey, man, I need this favor. Whatever you want, dog. Like, whatever you need, man.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
I was fueled by just complete rage for a long time, man. But now I'm going to spot my life where it's all about my kids. Like, you know, I did jiu-jitsu for 14 years. And when I was fighting, my jiu-jitsu coach, Jamal Easton and Henner Gracie, like, famous jiu-jitsu guys, like, man, when I retired, like, bro, you need your black belt. Come back, you're a black belt. Come back and get it. And I was like, I'm in stand-up, dog. I don't even
I
needed that years ago, man.
Right.
I'm straight.
Right. So do you think a lot of guys...
But the point of that black belt was my son, who's 5, started jiu-jitsu up the street. So we go there. It's his first day of class. I'm putting his belt on. And he goes, Dad, look at the instructors, man. They're all black belts. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Right. He goes, you think they could beat you up? I'm like, me? He's like, yeah. I'm like, no. And then my thing is never to lie to him. I always give him the truth.
Right.
I talk to him like an adult.
Right.
And he goes, you're a black belt? And I go, I mean, technically, yeah.
Not.
But he goes, oh, show me the black belt at home. I'm like,
Well, I don't have it at home. If you will call my coach right now, dog. I'll call him up right now. He'll tell you. So then we got in that car that night, and I was like, hey, Tiger, because his name's Tiger. I go, Tiger, be quiet. I call up my coach. He's like, Brandon, what's up? Good. I'm like, yeah, yeah, anyway. Hey, bro, you said I can come back in my black belt. He's like, it's on my desk waiting for you. I'm like, I'll be there Friday. It's in Denver. I was like, I'm booking a flight right now. I'm bringing my son. I'll be there Friday. And that was just to show my son, like, yeah, your dad's a black belt, dude.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
So this is what I want to put together, right? Since you look like you can whoop some behind.
Yeah.
Right? So all these celebrity fights, right? We got Ty Woodley and Jake Paul right in a couple weeks. So that's the new thing. So I want to put you in the ring versus this guy.
I don't want
to. And I want you to punch him in the face.
And this is for everybody
real,
here.
Real hard.
Here's the thing. If you ever see me doing the, and easy on the term celebrity, if you ever see me like fighting Nick Lachey or some shit like that, business is not good.
Nobody's doing that
who's doing well in life. You got Lamar Odom versus Nick Carter.
You already won, bro, because I'm not getting in the ring.
Right. I'm not punching you. I'm a fan. I'm not punching.
Y'all go, your fake fight.
No, but if I signed on the dotted line to fight you, yeah, you going to really, bro, it's. I already know the mentality. Like, yeah, it's fight or flight.
Those days are gone, man. I'm trying to tell
some. He's a comedian now.
I'm trying to tell some jokes on stage. I want no problems,
right?
Man.
He's hypothetically speaking, though. But if that were to happen, I'm already knowing. If we were to sign off on a fight, bro, I know you in that locker room. You're gonna flip a switch, bro.
The 26-year-old you is gonna
come out. You're gonna flip a switch.
Animal might, yeah, it's the animal might. But he's in there somewhere. Did you see Ocho Cinco? Did you see Chad?
Yeah, I was there.
You went to the fight.
I was there.
Yeah, I was working that fight. And I remember when they told me who Chad is fighting, I'm like, that's a bad idea. This dude fought bare knuckle.
I wouldn't fight bare knuckle.
I'm like, he's fighting, that's a terrible idea. And then I was like, Chad's gonna get knocked out. I put money against him and shit.
Right.
And then he looked good,
exactly.
Man.
Let me tell you something. Chad has been doing boxing and stuff over the years just to kind of keep in shape.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago, I went there and we trained and I went to the gym. He was doing the boxing. And so then obviously this celebrity stuff came about. Like, it didn't surprise me that he would do it. So he already knew, like, to prepare for this fight, like, I'm like, he had to obviously, you know, he took it serious. As soon as I went into the locker room, the first thing that I told him, I said, yo, respect the sport.
Yep.
Like, don't go in, like, I know Chaddy's silly.
Don't be silly. Like,
don't be Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
There
like,
you
bro, go. Don't go in there playing around. I know he's a showman.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you got to respect this sport.
And he did. He looked damn good.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely showed respect.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, he looked good.
Is there any celebrity fights that you would like to see?
What do you think should have happened with the Floyd
Mayweather and other Paul?
The Paul.
What's the other Paul?
Is it Logan Paul?
Logan Paul. Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen with that fight? Obviously, they went the distance. There's obviously a weight difference.
There's a weight difference.
Height. But I think if Floyd was his weight or Jake was down to.
You would have took him out. Yeah.
Floyd's weight.
This is my thing with that. It's like going into it, I was like, you know, Logan's never won a boxing match. You're going against the pound for pound best ever.
Right.
And like Floyd's a technician, man. Like he'll go to the body, get him out in the third round.
Right.
And then you work in the fight. I see Floyd warming up. And I remember I was with my crew. I go, damn, he looks 44 back there.
Right.
I see him on the mitts, like in his elbow, like stretching his elbow.
Old stretches.
I saw gray in his beard and shit. He had like the New Balances in the corner. I'm like, oh damn, he looks 44.
Right.
So like he might be in some trouble because Logan's young.
He's big.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've worked with Floyd a number of times and he's amazing, man. But Logan's an actual buddy. So I went to the back with Logan. I was like, bro, you just gotta not get knocked out, and you win, dog. He's the best
of all time. So it's a win for him not to get out. It's a win-win, man.
Absolutely.
Right.
So after the fight, I went to Logan's locker room. I'm like, you won, dog.
You won life.
I mean,
you won life.
In the judges' eyes, if there was judges, you didn't win, but you won for you, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's a good way to look at it.
I was disappointed.
But Floyd looked 44 for the first time.
Yeah.
But also
Floyd was over there doing jumping jacks to warm up.
Yeah, like, but for Floyd, old. Like it's a pay. Like who wouldn't do that?
It's a payday.
It's an easy
$100 million
against a YouTuber,
right? For something that you can probably do in your sleep.
Yeah,
easy. He wasn't gonna get knocked out. Floyd wasn't gonna get
knocked
out.
No, not a chance.
That was a potential. Like yeah,
for sure, big guy.
That's anybody. You get in there and you get caught.
For sure, you can get knocked out. Yeah, Floyd messed around, but he's been doing it since he was in diapers.
Right,
so it's like
exactly.
for Floyd, he said best is legal bank robbing. Like this was easy day in the office, man.
Yeah. Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the shows you have on Showtime.
You have The King and The Sting.
Yep.
You have The Fighter and The Kid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
and
Food Truck Diaries
on Showtime, yep, Below the Belt on Showtime.
Yeah.
This is how I know I work too much is me and Floyd have, I mean, I've worked with, when he fought Conor, I worked with him when he fought Logan Paul, and then we're in the restaurant and his whole team's there in entourage. I'm just waiting to sit down and eat. And he goes, I know you. I go, oh, what's up, man? He goes, you that white boy works too much. And I was like, that's me, dog. Yeah, I was like, that's me, man.
That's definitely a compliment.
Yeah, I do too many podcasts. So, yeah, Food Truck's just a branch of Below the Belt on Showtime. And it's.
You had Paul on there before?
I had Logan Paul on there. I had Dylan Dennis on, and Jake Paul came by. And that's where the infamous, he started throwing toilet paper and eggs at him. And it was chaos, man. Chaos.
Wow. Okay.
But, yeah, it's just a show with, like, top tier fighters, and we have a good food truck and we eat, and I tell the fighters on there, like, I'm not a journalist, man, so like I don't care about your next fight, I don't I'm not breaking news. Like, you
not
want
CNN.
If you're into fishing, we can eat chicken fried sandwiches and talk about fishing for an hour. I don't care, man. It's just
you
a cool vibe.
You want to take them away from what they actually
I just want to have a conversation like a friend. Right, I don't care what you want to talk about your kids for an hour, let's do it, man. That's fun. Cool.
So you're loving the entertainment business part of it though.
Yeah,
what's your goal, what's your like your goals in that?
I mean, I started my own network, the Thick Boy Network, so all my shows are on there.
Thick Boy, so this is what the TB is on your shirt?
I thought it was
Tom Brady.
Oh. No, hell no.
Oh. I thought it was Tom Brady.
Oh, no, I love Tom.
I thought
Tom,
you was a Tommy fan. That's what TB stands
yeah,
for on
thick
your
boy,
shirt. Okay,
yep.
Thick Boy. And you got something on the back with it,
it says
too?
Thick Boy.
Okay.
Thick Boy.
I'm not going to ask him what it stands for because I'm a dude.
Right, well.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, man, I mean, we appreciate you, you know.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, this is easy work, man. Yeah, thank you guys. Good luck, man.
Everybody, you check out his three podcasts, Food Truck Diaries, King and the Sting.
King and the Sting, Theo Vaughn.
And the Fighter and the Kid.
Yep, I'm on tour, like, nationwide, so come check me out.
Stand-up comedian.
Stand-up comedian. Come check him out.
Yep, and for you guys, stand-up comedian, if you crack some jokes on you.
Well, you can write some jokes. Send
them
to
Brendan. Don't think about going on the stage and handling because
heckling?
You can't handle the
hecklers?
Jokes.
Hecklers?
Yeah.
It's rare I get hecklers.
You ain't gonna get no hecklers.
You know what the worst
thing
is? You know, everyone has security. Every joke, every stage I've ever got, damn, I don't need to do security tonight, man. You got
exactly,
this.
Exactly, yeah.
You're like a one-man band.
But I don't,
absolutely.
Though, man.
Yeah,
but I don't.
But I want security
right,
anyway.
You're like the comedian and the security at the same
man.
Time.
It's your boy, Brendan Schaub. We just want to tell him, right? Appreciate you. Thank you for coming on the
Absolutely.
Show, right? I know you're taking the time to come all the way out here and hang out with us, man. We appreciate Brendan for coming on today.
Absolutely. I mean, I learned a lot from this guy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, learning a lot. Obviously, you know, football player, you know, had his little stint with the NFL. Kind of almost kind of reminded me of The Rock a little bit, just not
his
the
story.
Career. Yeah, the story.
But he's still on his way. He can still turn into The Rock one day.
Exactly.
You never know.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, just learning about that. And then I think, you know, just learning who he was as an individual and then
Absolutely.
Understanding like the mindset of an athlete and just trying to transition. And like I said, he's kind of like us in a sense, trying to figure out what life is like after football.
Yep. And again, he said it, right? His work ethic is what got him to the next level. So again, we talk a lot about that on the show. Again, we're always keeping it light, having fun, but again, we're trying to give some life lessons as well, right?
Yeah.
Right? Desire, dedication, determination, things you talk about, work ethic. Those things are what's going to make you successful in this life, in this business, in sports, of course, as well. But again, thanks, Brendan Schaub, for coming out. Check him out on all social media handles, Twitter, Instagram. And again, check out his comedy shows coming up, podcasts,
Absolutely.
All that stuff.
Yep, yep. I mean, I learned, like I said, just to hear his story and then just to see where he is now. He seems at peace.
Absolutely.
And anytime we go through life, there's always, you know, that season. There's a reason, a season, and things happen for, you know, for us, you know, for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And so again, that's a very, very admirable of this guy, obviously, to kind of really know really where his ceiling was and understand, like, I can't do this. I just can't take this pounding forever.
You ain't lying. I ain't mad at him. He switched lanes and he's doing good. And there you have it, our first show. Dundada.
Yeah.
Peace.